Memorial Day has always held a special place in my heart. Many years ago, before Ancestry.com, I had a company in Salt Lake City trace my family roots all the way back to Charlemagne. That's how I came to know that my joiner ancestors participated in every major conflict our country has encountered, from the Revolutionary War to Desert Storm. My own father answered his country's call when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in 1941. He served on a Navy minesweeper until the war's end. I followed my father by volunteering for naval service 10 days after my 18th birthday in 1960. I've lost family members and friends in war. Ann and I were privileged to visit the beaches of Normandy on three occasions. Buried there are almost 10,000 brave men, some boys, really. And the sight of those neatly aligned white grave crosses takes your breath away. The sheer enormity of what these men accomplished on that bloody beach on D-Day boggles the imagination. We've also been privileged to stop and honor our fallen warriors in North Africa, in England, Germany, France, and many other parts of the world. We look for opportunities to visit the final resting places of fallen American soldiers when we travel. It sounds so trite to say that freedom is not free, but it's true. For more than 242 years, our fathers and forefathers and many patriotic women have put on their country's uniform and stood tall to defend us against our enemies. All gave some. Some gave all. And this is Memorial Day weekend, a time for family celebrations, but also a time to remember those whose sacrifices have given us the freest country in the history of the world. Say a prayer today for the safety of all in uniform. Thank someone that you meet who's serving, whether they're in or out of uniform. It's a dangerous job and getting more dangerous every day. It doesn't pay very much, and it oftentimes takes them away from their families to hot spots around the globe. Don't take Memorial Day for granted. Hug your children and say thanks for the brave men and women who have made this celebration possible. Originally called Decoration Day, from the early tradition of decorating graves with flowers, wreaths, and flags, Memorial Day is a day for remembrance of those who have died in service to our country. It was widely observed on May 30, 1868, to commemorate the sacrifices of Civil War soldiers by proclamation of General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of former Union sailors and soldiers. During that first national celebration, former Union General and sitting Ohio Congressman James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, after which 5,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of the more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried there. Here's what Garfield said on May 30, 1868 at Arlington. "We do not know one promise these men made, one pledge they gave, one word they spoke, but we do know they summed up and perfected by one supreme act the highest virtues of men and citizens. For love of country, they accepted death, and thus resolved all doubts and made immortal their patriotism and their virtue." In the midst of the nation's observation of the 150th anniversary of the Civil War battle, anniversaries and encampments of Union and Confederate reenactors, there are reminders of the Civil War's long legs in American society. One of the lesser-known legacies of the Civil War, however, is Memorial Day. This holiday has its roots in local commemorations of the fallen soldiers of that war, many of which involved laying flowers on graves and paying tribute to the fighting men who gave the last measure for their cause. The first Memorial Day observances were notable for having been organized by those Americans who were unable to fully participate in the conflict that defined their era, women and African Americans. One of the most antecedents of the modern Memorial Day was a Decoration Day organized by freedmen's relief organizations and formerly enslaved people in Charleston, South Carolina, on May 1, 1865. One of a series of celebrations in that destroyed city to mark the end of the war, this event was orchestrated by the African-American citizens of Charleston to mark and decorate the graves of the 257 Union prisoners who died at the Charleston Race Course, which had been converted to a Confederate prison. Thousands of freed men, including almost 3,000 black schoolchildren, gathered to decorate the graves with flowers and beautify the graveyard, building an enclosure and an ark labeled Martyrs of the Race Course in what is now known as Hampton Park. Scholar David Blight has christened this event the First Memorial Day. What you have there is black Americans recently freed from slavery, announcing to the world with their flowers, their feet, and their songs what the war had been about. What they basically were creating was the Independence Day of a second American Revolution. Meanwhile, women in both northern and southern states had contributed to the war by managing farms and businesses, producing necessary war supplies, joining voluntary associations like the United States Christian Commission and the Women's Relief Society, and maintaining family life on the home front. Popular conceptions of femininity in American life held that women should perform the emotional work of grieving and mourning deceased family members. With thousands of fathers, brothers, and sons dying in combat every month, women adapted their responsibilities to this grim new culture of death. Americans were embracing the Victorian rural cemetery ideal, in which families would visit their deceased loved ones in tree-shaded parks to emphasize perpetual remembrance and rest. During the Civil War, some women began decorating the soldiers' graves with flowers, a custom which may have been borrowed from the German Catholic observances of All Saints' Day. Dozens of cities in both northern and southern states claim to have been the birthplace of Decoration Day's tradition. But it had become an annual spring tradition in many cities by the end of the war. Whereas the United States government established national cemeteries and funded projects to identify and re-enter Union casualties after the war, in the former Confederacy, ladies' memorial associations took up the task of marking and maintaining graves in the absence of a sympathetic government. The Columbus Ladies' Memorial Association, which maintained a Confederate graveyard in that Georgia city in Columbus, first called upon Southern women to observe Memorial Day in an open letter published in March 1866. Though the date and local traditions varied by town, within several years, communities across the country were remembering veterans of the war with speeches and exercises and parades, which usually culminated with women decorating graves in local cemeteries. On May 5, 1868, the Grand Army of the Republic called for a regular national Memorial Day celebration. Major General John A. Logan wrote for the Veterans Organization that, "We should guard against graves with sacred vigilance. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and the going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten, as a people, the cost of a free and undivided republic." As the more rancorous memories of the conflict faded, Southerners and Northerners began to celebrate Memorial Day together, although it did not become a federal holiday until 1971. Many Americans still visit family grave sites with flowers on the last weekend in May, although for many the holiday has come to mean the beginning of summer, cookouts, and a day to spend relaxing with loved ones. That's what happened. That's how we came to have Memorial Day. Not many Americans know that. Frankly, until I did my research, I didn't know that. And I did not realize that it only became a federal holiday in 1971. I hope all of you have had a great Memorial Day and a great Memorial Weekend with the family, enjoying our life. We've had some beautiful days here in North Carolina in the last few days. Ann and I have four bluebird eggs out in our feeder, around our feeder. We just had four bluebirds that hatched out about, three or four months ago. Now we have four more. We watch over them like we do children. President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is in the headlights of the fake news media. And if you listen to the headlines, you'd think that Kushner was guilty of some heinous activity. The headlines are that the FBI wants to talk to Kushner. But what the headline should say is that Kushner has made it clear that he wants to talk to the FBI to explain the meeting that he had with the Russian ambassador, in which they supposedly spoke of creating a back channel between Russia and the United States. First of all, that is not a violation of the law, if it happened. And keeping the liberal Democrats and their attack dog in the media out of the loop would be a good thing. It's also reported that the Russian ambassador brought up the idea, not Kushner. But if you've only heard it reported on television or read it in the fake newspapers, you'd think that Kushner is under investigation by the FBI. Not true. The FBI only wants to ask Kushner what happened in the meeting with the ambassador. And Kushner readily agreed to meet with them from the very first comment. Something that the liberal media is not reporting to you and did not blow up at the time is that in 2008, before he was elected president, Barack Obama sent a man named William Miller to Iran to seek a back channel with the Iranian regime, our sworn enemy. Did you hear about that? No, not then and not now, as the media implies something is wrong with Jared Kushner and a back channel to Russia. I remind you again that the career Democrats and their media lackeys would have attacked any of the Republican candidates for president just as strongly as they have against Trump. It didn't matter who the representative was, as long as they were conservatives or Republicans. Whoever the American people elected, if not Hillary Clinton, would have gotten the same negative reporting. The whole idea is to keep negative thoughts alive about Donald Trump because he won. But they would do the same about any Republican. It's not Donald Trump that they hate so much as the agenda that he ran on and which the American people preferred over Hillary Clinton. That means that their attacks are on any of us who voted for Trump as well as those who chose not to vote for Hillary Clinton. It's the agenda they hate, the same agenda that Trump was elected to enact. They declare that Trump lies. But when pressed to come up with those lies, they slink back into the shadows. They repeat it because it's been repeated to them by the mainstream media. How ironic that anybody who backed one of the greatest liars in American history would accuse someone else of lying. By constantly attacking Donald Trump and keeping their negative, false news out there, they are undermining the presidency and slowing the speed of the president's attempt to turn America back from the path to oblivion that progressive liberals had us on for the past 8 years. It's amazing to me that Trump has got as much done in this short time as he has, with Democratic opportunists and their media flunkies piling on his back and clinging to his legs. As they do that, they have the gall to tell us that Trump is not getting all of his promises done as quickly as he said he would. That's like the Emperor of Japan saying that Pearl Harbor does not have as many flight-worthy planes as they had on December 6, 1941. Of course not. You destroyed them. Please do not accept the fake news being pushed on you by a liberal mainstream media. Look beyond it. Now, I spend many hours a week thoroughly researching everything that I report to you in my commentaries. I have no personal agenda. I am beholden to no political party, and I will never lie to you or bend the facts. The fake news of today is what keeps me motivated to clear the air. So keep your eyes and ears open for the truth. It's harder to find these days, but it's still out there. Truth will never die.